Oops.
So, if anybody has a favorite hymn, raise your hand. Brock, 381, first and last.
381. One, first and last. 381.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, watch we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy foes prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are. Only let us seek thy favor, only let us to thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosom fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast thought of us here. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us here.
Just a quick piece of information. If don't turn there now. But it's really fun. At some point, we'll look at Roman numeral page 7. It's called Directions for Singing, written by our own John Wesley. Some really nice pointers there from many hundred years ago. But it's kind of interesting to see his thoughts on how we should sing. Anyway, who else has it?
Just say sing as loud as you can.
I think that is one of his instructions, yes. Sing heartily and loud. All right, anyone, another song? Another favorite hymn? Yes? 526. 526. 1 and 3. Let's do 1 and 3. What a friend we have in Jesus.
We have in Jesus all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, at least we often forfeit. Needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Come, but be the Lord of a Savior, still a refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friend despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arm he'll take and shield. We'll find the solace there.
Yes, Austin.
245.
245. Any preference on verses?
No.
Okay. Then we'll go, 1 and 3?
the first of the angel this earth was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay in field where they were keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night and was so deep. Noel, 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 born is a king of Israel. And the light of the same stars. To seek for a king, what they intend, and to follow the star wherever it went. Noel, 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 born is the king of
see a hand?
Yes.
Yes. 242. All right. We'll stick with 1 and 3.
Down at Christmas, love, a loving love divine. Love was born at Christmas, stars and angels gave the sign. Love shall be a token, love be yours and love be thine. Love to God and all men, love for plea and gift and sign.
Okay, thank you very much. I think it's time to get ready for worship. Thank you. At this time, we'll invite Laurie and Mark Portell to come forward for the lighting of the Advent candles.
The Advent season reminds us of God's love. God loved the world despite its sinfulness. He loved us first before we knew and loved Him. By sending His only begotten Son, God reconciled us to Him. Now, whosoever believes in Him does not perish, but receives everlasting life.
Today we light the candle of love, which reminds us that Jesus loves us unconditionally and calls us to follow His example by loving one another. First John 4, verses 7 through 10. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment of Your love. Help us be messengers of Your love by our words and deeds, so that people may find the love of Jesus through us. Amen.
And my apologies for goofing up the order of things. That's what happens when you have bifocals. Okay, well, first, welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. It's great to see everybody here on this second Sunday of Advent. We'll have our announcements. Of course, we have our December birthdays, which I know we have. So I'll just quickly read them. So we have Cameron Causey, Kelsey Bielstein, Carol Jones Grissell, Ron Park, who's here, Chris Smith, Sheila Cheatham, Martin Morales, Paul Wohlers, and Sally Gibson. We wish them all a happy birthdays. I know I always hear December birthdays are tough for people since being so close to the holidays, you always feel like you get a little shortchanged. So hopefully we can help make up that difference and wish these people an extra happy birthday. If you're on your way out, you feel free to pick up one of the December newsletters, Our Friendly Visitor. They're available now. The pastor's luncheon this month will be on December 11th. We'll be back at Legendate China over in Kalamasa, and the price is $15. And I hear that's always a great time and to partake of that opportunity to have a nice outing with our pastor. Also coming up on December 15th will be caroling for our shut-ins and anybody needing some Christmas cheer, and that'll happen on December 15th. And that looks like they'll arrive here at the church and depart from the fellowship hall at 2 p.m. And then just if you could let the office know if you're planning to participate so they can plan accordingly for that. And it's a new month, and as always, we are the Cereal Church. We welcome and request any and all donations of cereal be brought to the church to assist with the community's outreach for those in need by providing the cereal. And let's see, so for poinsettias, are we still accepting, okay, requests for that? So I don't know, is the order form still here in the sanctuary? Okay, so yes, if you'd like to have a poinsettia purchased for you to be used here in the sanctuary, there is an order form in the back that you can get. I'm sure you could also contact the church office, but please, we always love to have lots of poinsettias to help decorate the sanctuary. And then coming up, we have also a parents' night out that will be occurring on December 13th from 6 to 8:30. In addition to that, we also have a toy drive going on. And so please bring a unwrapped new toy to the Narthex by Sunday, December 15th, which, yes, that will be next Sunday. Time rushes on. And but good question.
Any ages up to
teenagers. Any age up to teen, does that all the way to 18 or the? So probably up through a teenage. So pretty much the full spectrum of youth. So please help us with that outreach. And then lastly, we have our Hearts Grow activities. That occurs on the second and fourth Sundays of the month. And children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship. And there's a lot of great opportunities for the youth and young folks that would like to participate in that. And are there any other announcements from the congregation? Pastor?
The yellow light is blinking.
Did I hear something? All right. Then at that time, would you please stand as you're able for our call to worship? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. And please remain standing for our hymn, Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates. At this time, please reach out to your neighbors and in a time of passing of the peace.
you.
So the you can connect it through the Wi-Fi, right? Which means
very good. I love to see all this passing of the peace. I just wish our world would do the same. At this time, we'll have the time of sharing of our joys and concerns. If you have a joy or a concern, please raise your hand. Deb will bring you the mic so you can share that with us.
And I have a couple to start with.
Great.
Dina Barwick is having cataract surgery, and she is on her own, but she's on a she's going to be in a bed and breakfast that specifically deals with that. So she's going to be having 5 days of rest with nothing to do, but pray for good healing and good surgery for her. So that starts tomorrow. I'd also like to encourage people that know Carol Jones Gressel to send her a birthday card or call her. Her birthday is Tuesday, and she is in a wheelchair now, and she can't get out and around very well. So she would love to have people drop by and visit her if you know her. And if you don't know her, she's a delightful person to meet. So yours is Tuesday. Yeah. All right, Ron, happy birthday.
Yes.
Prayer requests, anybody? I'm coming, Claudia.
I just want to thank everybody who decorated our church. It is absolutely breathtaking. So thank you.
It is beautiful.
My little nephew, Samuel, is doing great. He got to go home. Not without a few problems. I wouldn't say he's like Aunt Trudy, but, you know, he could be. But he kept taking his oxygen out. But he does have asthma, so he'll have some struggles along the way. But he is home and terrorizing his brothers now, so he's happy. And my other friend, Jonelle, is coming home from the nursing home on the 13th. I think, I'm not sure, or the 20th, I'm not sure now, but it's going to be touch and go with her. She's still having a lot of trouble walking. She may be in a wheelchair. I'm not sure yet what's going to happen, but she is trying to do better, but every time she goes ahead, she goes backwards a couple steps. So it's yet to be seen, and she wanted to thank you all for praying for her. Thank you.
And this is April Klein again. Just keep praying for Bill. He can barely walk now, and he's really suffering. So I don't know. This hip flared up out of nowhere. So, but we go to the doctor on the 16th, so we'll get it fixed, hopefully. So keep praying for him. Thank you.
I'm Pat Shores. My best friend, Ruthie, I've known since second grade, and she went to church here until she moved away when she got married, and that was many years ago. She lives on the East Coast now, but anyway, her mother's birthday is this week. Her mother is turning 104, and I think it's remarkable. Her dad died Ruthie's dad died a long time ago. I don't remember how long ago, but her mother is doing great. When I asked about her recently, she said, oh, she's doing fine. She's slowed down a little bit, but she's hanging in there. So anyway, prayers for Ruthie and her family.
And I know the people in the congregation can't see who's on Zoom, but I want to welcome Bill and Helen and Chris Smith and David and June and Joyce and George. So welcome to worship. If you have any, if you have prayer requests, please raise your hand and we'll unmute and you can talk.
Thank you for sharing. At this time, we'll please join with me in the unison prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, it is your will to restore all things to Christ, whom you have anointed priest forever and ruler of creation. Grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united under the glorious and gentle rule of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. We have heard the prayer requests of our loved ones. We know the need of our loved ones. God has placed many in our lives circle, and this is the time that we can bring our prayers that we may not be able to share with others, and also our prayers for our loved ones. Let us continue. Lord Jesus, give us this wisdom to be in silence when we face troubles. Because in silence, we'll know that you are our God. You speak to us, you show us your presence, show us the evidence of who rules our lives. Yes, surely, Lord Jesus, you are the King. You are the ruler. You are our sovereign God. There's nothing that goes out of your reign. Everything is under your control. Even when we think that we have lost control. So during this Christmas, we acknowledge once more that you have the complete control over our lives. Sometimes we do not like what we see. We are struggling to overcome the troubles. We try to find answers to the questions, but we don't seem to find answers. We are struggling with many situations. But, O Lord, in spite of the fact that we are still struggling, we can confess by faith that you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the King. So we open our hearts and open our lives and invite you to show us your power, show us your rule, that we may once more humbly submit to your rule. And thank you, Lord, for your reign over our lives. Because you are in our life, we can trust that what you are doing today is going to be revealed, that you have the perfect plan for us, that you have plans that exceeds our expectation, so that we will all lift up our praises and thanksgiving, acknowledging that you have done it again. You have guided our life. You have blessed us. You have provided for us in such a way that our lives is sustained, that we may find strength and health to continue to serve you and fulfill your life in our lives. So, Lord, in spite of all the troubles we see, we come to you in silence, acknowledging that you are our God, you are our Creator, that you have the full control over our life, over this church, over our communities, over this nation, and over this world. So we pray, O Lord, your kingdom come as you design in heaven, and we are members of your kingdom. Continue to serving you and fulfilling your will here on earth. So now, as one community of faith, we now join our prayers as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Today's story is Stick Man. Written by Julia Donaldson, illustrated by Axel Scheffler. Stickman lives in the family tree with his stick lady love and their stick children three. One day he wakes early and goes for a jog. Stickman, oh Stickman, beware of the dog. A stick barks the dog, an excellent stick, the right kind of stick for my favorite trick. I'll fetch it and drop it and fetch it, and then I'll drop it and fetch it and drop it again. I'm not a stick. Why can't you see? I'm Stickman, I'm Stickman, I'm Stickman, that's me. And I want to go home to the family tree. A notice says, dogs must be kept on the lead. At last the game's over and Stickman is freed. He sets off for home with a hop and a twirl. Stickman, oh Stickman, beware of the girl. A stick, cries the girl with a smile on her face. I bet you this stick will come first in the race. Has everyone got one? Get ready to throw. It's one, two, three, into the river they go. I'm not a stick. Why can't they see? I'm Stickman, I'm Stickman, I'm Stickman, that's me. And I'm heading away from the family tree. Stickman is floating. He floats on and on. Stickman, oh Stickman, beware of the swan. A twig, says the swan. This twig is the best. It's the right kind of twig to weave into my nest. I'm not a twig. Why can't they see? I'm Stickman, I'm Stickman,
I'm Stick Man, that's me, and I long to be back in the family tree. The nest is deserted and Stick Man is free. He drifts down the river and sails out to sea. He tosses and turns till the frolicking foam washes him up on a beach far from home. Here comes a dad with a spade in his hand. Stick Man, oh Stick Man, beware of the sand. A mast, yelled the dad, an excellent mast. Hooray, there's a flag on our castle at last. I'm not a mast for a silly old flag, or a sword for a knight, or a hook for a bag. I'm not a pen, I'm not a bow, I'm not a bat or a boomerang. No, I'm... Stick Man, oh Stick Man, beware of the snow. Here comes a boy in a warm woolly scarf. An arm for my snowman, he says with a laugh. I'm not an arm, can nobody see? I'm Stick Man, I'm Stick Man, I'm Stick Man, that's me. Will I ever get back to the family tree? Stick Man is lonely, Stick Man is lost. Stick Man is frozen and covered in frost. Stick Man is weary, his eyes start to close. He stretches and yawns and lies down for a doze. He can't hear the bells or the sweet singing choir. Or the voice saying, here's a good stick for the fire. Stick Man is lying asleep in the grate. Can anyone wake him before it's too late? He dreams of his kids and his stick lady love, then suddenly wakes. What's that noise from above? It starts as a chuckle, then turns to a shout. Oh, ho, 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 I'm stuck, get me out. A stuck man? A stuck man? Now who could that be? Don't worry, cries Stick Man, I'll soon set you free. A scratch and a scrape and a flurry of soot, a wiggle, a jiggle, and out pokes a foot. A shove and a nudge, a hop and a jump, and Santa falls into the room with a thump. Stick Man, oh Stick Man, you excellent friend, thanks, thanks a million, thanks without end. Then Stick Man helps Santa deliver the toys to fast asleep girls and to fast asleep boys. Faster and faster they fly through the snow till Santa says, only one chimney to go. Stick Lady's lonely, the children are sad. It won't feel like Christmas without their stick dad. They toss and they turn in the family bed. But what is that clattering sound overhead? Someone is tumbling into their house. Is it a bird or a bat or a mouse? Or could it, yes, could it possibly be? I'm Stick Man, I'm Stick Man, I'm Stick Man, that's me. And I'm sticking right here in the family tree. The end. May we be especially close to our family and friends this Christmas. Amen.
Amen. And would you please remain seated for our next hymn, which is O Come, Emmanuel.
In lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come thou from on high, and over all things far and nigh, to us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in our ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, come, O come, great Lord of mine, who to thy tribes on Sinai's high, in ancient times once gave the law, in cloud and majesty and awe. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, come to thee, O Israel.
This morning's scripture reading will come from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So good to see you as usual. As you know that you are my only family here in the United States. So your presence here is always appreciated. And I appreciate all those who faithfully come to worship with us via Zoom. I know we have a bit of issue of showing you the screen this morning, but we'll straighten it out during the week, and we will go back to the recover all the functionality. But I pray that the grace of the Lord will be upon each and every one of you, that as we worship together, you will experience the presence of God in many different ways. You can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit right here in this place. This sanctuary is a very, very special place for me, because I've been to many, many sanctuaries for the last 40 years, right? Over 40 years. And each sanctuary has different characteristics and different beauties, but what I feel here is a very homey feeling. It's like, you know, you come in, it's like you feel embraced by God's presence. It's not just me. Many of you have shared that. Even people who comes to worship with us for the first time feel God's presence right here. And, I mean, I try to understand what it is. And part of it is that this beautiful sanctuary was built by hands of the parishioners, you know, they, all their prayers and their labors went into building this structure. But it's a very special place. So I pray that each of you will experience the presence of God and experience God speaking to you through His voice, through His Holy Spirit. And this is where we feel God's presence every time we worship together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The following is a parody of the wonderful words of Luke's Christmas story, which we are all familiar with. And there were in the same country children keeping watch over their stockings by the fireplace. And lo, Santa Claus came down, came upon them, and they were sore afraid. And Santa said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which be to all people. Who can afford them? For unto you will be given great feasts of turkey, dressing, and cake, and many presents. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the present wrapped in bright paper, lying beneath the tree, adorned with tinsel, colored balls, and light. And suddenly, there will be with you a multitude of relatives and friends, praising you and saying, 'Thank you so much, it was just what I wanted.' And it shall come to pass, as the friends and relatives have gone away into their own homes, the parents shall say to one another, 'Darn it, what a mess to clean up. I'm tired. Let's go to bed and pick it up tomorrow.' Thank goodness Christmas only comes once a year. And they go with haste to their cold bed and find their desired rest." Any parents would be very familiar with this scene. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day also used to be very long and sleep-deprived days for Becky and me. We wanted our kids to enjoy the fantasy of Santa Claus while they were young, so we did not put out Christmas gifts until late Christmas Eve. After making sure all our kids went to bed and fell sound asleep, we spent a couple of hours wrapping gifts and writing cards. On many Christmas Eves, we went to bed after midnight, but our kids would wake us up much earlier than usual on Christmas and want to open their present. Their excitement died down eventually after they learned Santa Claus did not prepare presents, but their parents did. How did they find out? Santa could no longer satisfy their picky taste. My boys are not children anymore. Plus, it is almost impossible to please them, so they do not get Christmas present. But for Esther, many times throughout the year. Regardless, Christmas is the best time of the year, and we happily anticipate it. Let us remember that our anticipation goes beyond this annual festivity. There will be a second Christmas when Jesus returns to this earth. Let us learn some biblical basis on the second advent, including the portion of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth," under the light of the advent. The word advent has a root in Latin, adventus, meaning arrival. People in this part of the nation are more familiar with this word. There in the neck of our neighborhood is a sizable community of Adventist churches. They call themselves Adventists because they emphasize Jesus' second arrival on this earth. Many believers dismiss this important Christian doctrine, but in fact, the first Christmas anticipate the second one. If they believe the first advent, they should believe the second advent as well. Let me take several examples to explain what this means. Firstly, the annunciation of the angel Gabriel to Mary. The angel said to Mary, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendant forever. His kingdom will never end." The Annunciation was not new, but a repeat of the old prophecy. Nathan was a prophet who served King David around 1000 BC. Nathan said this to David in 2 Samuel 7. "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. And he is the one who will build the house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." The prophesied son of David was born on Christmas. The Gospel of Matthew begins a long genealogy of Jesus, which is centered around King David. See how it begins and ends. Verse 1 of chapter 1. "This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And it ends in verse 17. "There were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exiles to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to Jesus the Messiah." David is the dividing point and the central figure of Jesus' genealogy. The genealogy presents an unmistakable message that Jesus was born the son of David. Four Gospels witness that the public knew that Jesus as the son of David and called him so. Jesus came to the earth to establish the everlasting throne of David. Non-believers think that Jesus exists in history once and is no more. However, the first advent marks only the beginning of Jesus' work to build God's kingdom on this earth. His job is not done. Jesus is still building God's kingdom on this earth through his followers. His second advent, arrival, will mark the completion of God's eternal kingdom. The angel's annunciation, "His kingdom will never end," manifests Jesus' first and second coming. Secondly, Jesus knew the Old Testament perfectly and committed to fulfilling every prophecy of the Old Testament. During the time of Jesus, the copies of the Greek translation of the entire Old Testament, called Septuagint, were in circulation. We may see hints of this in the Gospels. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, went into a synagogue and read from the book of Isaiah. Jesus also mentioned Tanakh. We may see it that way, but mentioned Tanakh, the compilation of the Old Testament. Tanakh is the acronym with initials of three main parts of the Old Testament. T for Torah, that is the first five books of the Old Testament. N for Nevi'im, prophets. K for Ketuvim, writings such as Psalms, Proverbs, Job, and so on. Not only did Jesus have full knowledge of the Old Testament, but he also committed himself to fulfill it. Matthew 2:23 says, "Jesus went and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene." Speaking of his death, Jesus said in Luke 22:37, I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was reckoned with transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. At his first advent, Jesus fulfilled almost every prophecy in the Old Testament. Jesus repeatedly mentioned his second return and will return to fulfill the last part of the Old Testament prophecy. Thirdly, the evidence of his return is found in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is God's will to establish his kingdom on earth through Jesus that lasts forever. In order to complete God's kingdom, which Jesus began building, Jesus has to return. Jesus wants all his followers to agree with this plan God has and pray for it in anticipation of his return. Think about it. Every believer in every generation, from the time of Jesus' first arrival, has prayed this prayer and will continue until the end. This part of the prayer, or the Lord's Prayer, is the most frequent and honest prayer ever offered. And God will not fail to answer this prayer. And he will answer it by sending Jesus again. Considering all, Jesus' return is as inevitable as his first coming. Jesus' work on earth is a historical fact that no one, both believers and non-believers, can deny. So will be his second advent. I recently watched an interview with a famous mortician and funeral director in South Korea. During his several decades-long career, he buried more than 3,000 people. Can you believe it? 3,000 people. That includes many presidents, many famous businessmen like a previous Samsung chairman, and many famed, prestigious people and leaders. You know what he said? That he learned one important lesson from years of experience from burying more than 3,000 people. You know what he learned? Everybody dies. Duh! I mean, you don't have to bury 3,000. I mean, that's a basic knowledge that everybody knows. But that's what he said. The second advent is as sure as death. Some unknown person wrote this: the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we exalt at Christmas, is not just a baby in a manger. He's not a character in a children's story. He is far more. The first time he came veiled in the form of a child. The next time he comes, and we believe it will be soon, he will come unveiled. And it will be abundantly and immediately clear to all the world just who he really is. The first time he came, a star marked his arrival. The next time he comes, the whole heavens will roll up like a scroll, and all the stars will fall out of the sky, and he himself will light it. The first time he came, wise men and shepherds brought him gifts. The next time he comes, he will bring gifts, rewards for his own. The first time he came, there was no room for him. The next time he comes, the whole world will not be able to contain his glory. The first time he came, only a few attended his arrival. The next time he comes, every eye will see him. The first time he came as a baby, soon he will come as sovereign King and Lord. We celebrate Advent for a four-week season in the church calendar dedicated to anticipating the first arrival of Jesus, the Messiah. Advent is infused with Jesus' second coming. The first and the second Advent cannot be separated from each other. Advent marks the beginning of the Christian calendar year. The second Advent will be the culmination of history, God's story, and the grandiose beginning of the new heaven and the new earth. Praying the Lord's Prayer is not just our lip service, but reflects our conviction in the second Advent and the way we should live with readiness for his second arrival. As we are getting ready for Christmas, let us be prepared for his return to welcome Jesus with joy. Amen.
Just a reminder, if you brought your tithes and offerings this morning, you may leave them in the offering plate at the back of the church. You may also bring them to the church office or mail them into the church office. And we thank you for your continued support of our church and the ministries that we participate in. At this time, Young Char will present her musical offering for us.
Thank you. God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of leaves. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for filling our lives with your presence and with joy of Christmas in our hearts and in our lives. Recognizing your presence in our lives, O Lord, we give you this recognition and thanksgiving from our hearts. Receive this offering. Bless it that it may be used to proclaim that you are here with us, that you are the God of Emmanuel. In Jesus' name, amen.
And please remain standing for our closing hymn, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of all, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurl. And still the heavenly music float of all the weary world. Above is sad and lonely plains, they bend on hovering wing, and ever of his babble sound the blessed angels sing. And ye beneath life crushing Lord, whose forms are bending low, who toiled along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now for glad and golden awe, come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing.
Let us pray. Lord, you have manifested your presence in our life, and there's no question that you are with us. But the time will come that you will reveal yourself openly to the entire world. And may we live with readiness so that we may be able to welcome you when you return. In the meantime, O Lord, from now until you come back, may we continue on serving you, loving you, serving your church and loving your people, that your kingdom may be being built through our hands and through our feet. So bless our commitment to you and to build your kingdom on this earth. And therefore, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
are in peace. Never be afraid, God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, he will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love, and sure you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Oh, no.